I'm going to read tonight in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3. Last night our brother Baker read the words of John the Baptist in John chapter 3. I want to continue that tonight in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3. Our brother Wright brought to our attention the need of repentance. So let's read together in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3 and from verse number 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, who were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." And so there are just two basic points I want to emphasize in this reading tonight in Matthew chapter 3. And the first one is in verse number 2, where John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, emphasized the tremendous necessity of repentance. And then in verse number 7, he gives a message of warning, flee. And he speaks indeed then from wrath to come. The last of you all, let's look in John's Gospel chapter 1 for one other reading. The Gospel of John chapter 1. And verse number 29, John's Gospel chapter 1, verse 29, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So really, as we look into the Bible, we find that this man called John the Baptist, who came as a herald to announce the coming Lamb of God, preached a message as simple as was his dress and his diet. His message was summed up in three simple words that I trust every person here tonight might be able to understand simply and clearly. The first one, repent. The second one, flee. And the third one, when believed by an individual in our gathering tonight, can make all the difference as far as eternity for you is concerned. And it's a great word, behold, because, friends, salvation is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so those that may have gotten the invitation through the mail, and on it is offered a free gospel packet, have been invited to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those that will speak tonight are speaking from personal experience of a moment in their life when by faith they came to Christ and were saved. We're born again. We're converted. And for the Christian, their passport to the realms of bliss is that Jesus died for me. And in this province, as a young man raised in this city, I came to experience salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight I'm heaven born and heaven bound, all because of the one who is called the Lamb of God, that John the Baptist preached about, that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, just a few days ago, my wife and I were traveling out the Hope Princeton Highway. And as we were driving out there, had a few things to do that day, and so I was heading for Princeton to visit a man that I haven't seen for many, many years. After a long time now, we finally made contact that day. But anyway, I said to her, you know, I recall coming down this highway towards Vancouver years ago, and I said, remember, we passed by an accident. And I said, I recall as we were heading south, we came upon this vehicle that had obviously going too fast around a fairly sharp corner, and it slammed into the cement abutment, and cars were lined up from both directions, and it was getting pretty hectic. One man stood out in the traffic and was trying to direct cars going to and fro, and people were kind of getting caught, and horns were blaring, and I went past and around and flagged down a trucker, and I said, you got a CB? And he said, yes. I said, well, call the police. I said, there's an accident ahead. There's going to be more trouble. And anyway, to make a long story short, I wasn't down the highway very far until I saw two RCMP cars heading towards the accident. So I said, Elizabeth, I said, I wonder, of all these turns and curves in the Hope Princeton Highway, which one was that? And I said, I remember there was some signs before the turn letting people know that there was a fairly sharp turn coming. Anyway, we didn't manage to find it going east on the Highway 3. But anyway, coming back, we were driving along, and I looked. Finally, after a few miles of driving, I saw a sign on the side of the road, slow, and it gave the kilometers. And then there was another mounted sign with lights on it, indicating a fairly sharp turn. And down the road at the turn was a great big checkerboard sign with an arrow indicating which way to turn. Now, the reason the highways departments put those signs there is that there was danger ahead. And people going over the speed limits run the risk of a very serious accident. And so along that journey, people are warned in advance in various ways, slow down, that there is real danger not very far away. Now you see, friend, tonight, you and I are on a journey called the journey of life. And here and there in the course of our travels, there are ways that your Creator tries to communicate to you. Some people get awakened and made aware of things by creation. Others, as they ponder, as I did many years ago, our first child, I said to the nurse, if I didn't believe in God's up till tonight, I would now, as I look into the face of this newborn. But you see, the way that God often speaks to people is as they sit and listen to the Bible's message in a public preaching session. And so, you see, John the Baptist's message is relevant for our times. For you see, John's message was, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, John's message was followed by the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus said in chapter 4, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The Apostle Paul could say in Acts 17, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Peter said in 2 Peter 3, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so you see, friend, there comes in the course of a person's life a warning that you're traveling a road that leads to danger and eternal destruction. And the gospel preacher stands before you in the quietness of a large auditorium and speaks about a message that brings people up to a stop, to realize there's things in my life that are far more important than dollars in the bank, or cars in the garage, or holidays in some distant country. But I have a soul that lives on forever. And one of these days I'll be gone, and gone forever. And all that matters, friend, the light of eternity, is where will your soul be 5 minutes after you die? Now you see, when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about being born again, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he spoke of an inward change of nature. When he spoke that, except you're converted and become a little child, you'll know he's entered God's kingdom, he spoke of an outward change of life. But in repentance, he speaks of a Godward change of mind. I come to a point in my life when I realize that sin is not just something that I do, but it is an affront to God above, and sin is wrong. And sin is an assault against the very character of the God that someday we're going to meet. And the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Change of mind about God. The Bible says God is of pure eyes, then behold evil, and cannot look upon iniquity. God hates sin. No matter what the paper says, or your friends may say, God hates sin, and God must punish sin, and repentance involves a change of mind about my sin, and about God Almighty that someday I'm going to meet, ready or not. And involves a change of minds about myself. Rather than being some flower in God's garden, I realize, indeed, I'm a sinner on a broad road going down to destruction. Our brother emphasized last night the fact there's two roads upon which every individual in our world, regardless of color, class, culture, or creed, is traveling. And there's two ultimate destinations to which every person goes, no matter who your mother is, or your father, or your background, or your religion. So you see, as John the Baptist presented repentance as mandatory for every human being, and the Bible's message dictates to us that there must be a moment in our experience when I change my mind regarding sin in my nature and sins upon my soul. The fact that someday I must meet God. And in this world I'm a sinner going away from God. salvation is when God saves me off the broad roads by His power and places me on a new path heading for glory through the simple work of Christ, who upon the cross suffered and died in the place of the sinner. But now we have another message that John presented. It was a message of wrath to come. You see, as you travel, God seeks to stop you and slow you down because there's danger ahead. Many have been following the news of the hurricane that struck the west coast of Mexico in the last few days, and have noted the increase in statistics or individuals that have perished in this tremendous catastrophe. But you see, there's a lot of the folk down in Acapulco that could have been spared. They were warned about Hurricane Pauline on its way. But you see, they had heard it before. They'd heard that there was a hurricane coming other times, and it became like just an idle warning until it struck the coast. Friend, tonight in our gathering here, this world is ripe for the judgment of the God of heaven. And that is why the preacher's message was not only a message of repentance, calling a halt in life, stopping dead in my tracks and turning from my course to Christ for salvation, but it is a warning of danger ahead. And John's message was flee from wrath to come, because, friend, as sure as night follows day and winter follows summer, wrath follows sin. And Jesus Christ spoke of Noah's time as the type of conditions in existence at the end of this age of God's favor. And as Noah lived his life with his family in that day of violence and wickedness, eventually God, the flood, came upon that scene and destroyed the people of that day. And friend, the world that we're living in right now is filled with violence. I can't believe the papers. It seems to go from one crisis situation of murder and carnage to another. We see conditions in existence right in our day. They remind us, friend, that the judgment of God will soon fall upon this world. But you see, there was a place of safety. Here's a dad. Made sure by his side was a wife who followed him to a place of refuge. Not only did the father care for his wife, but he said, boys, follow your father's footsteps to the place of safety, the refuge from the storm that will come. Listen, Dad, tonight, you may be the one that can lead your dear wife to faith in the Lord Jesus. Listen, couple, tonight in this gathering, by being saved, you can live your life for your family and see your sons and daughters saved. I have four children. Our highest interest in our family's life is that they might be saved. For friend, judgment's coming. Christ spoke of the days of Lot, days of perversion. Vancouver's no different than Toronto or Toronto than Chicago, or on it goes. But friend, we're living in a wicked world. When sin doesn't cause a blush. And all that goes on in this world, friend, is not unnoticed by the God of heaven. And there's judgment coming. And Lot's day experienced the fire and brimstone upon that wicked city. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And friend, I tell you, God will have it out with sinners. And God will judge sin. But in Lot's time, here was the angel that came and led that man out to a place of safety in his daughters. And listen tonight, friend, there is opportunity in this gathering for you to repent of your sins, to change your mind and change your direction. Thank God there is an opportunity to flee the awful impending wrath that will engulf this world because of the sin that rises to God's nostrils. And friend, God must judge us, and because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with a stroke. Last night our brother read from John 3:36 the words of John the Baptist. He that believeth on the Son is everlasting life. But he that believes not the Son shall not slay, but God's wrath abideth on him. It's something, friend, that's hovering over every person in this gathering. I recall sitting in this city, listening to men stand up before the people and present the Bible's unvarnished message. And in my young heart and mind, I realized that what they were saying was absolutely true. Judgment must follow sin. And I trembled. I could almost feel the heat. And I realized if I died as I lived, I would be in hell. But you see, the deliverance was presented. The one that can save and keep and satisfy. And as a friend of mine had told me, said, Brian, I have got it settled. Well, I said to myself, I said, he was worse than me. He did more things that his mother didn't know about than I did. And I thought, now, if he can be saved, and wants to be saved, and is saved, then it's high time I got wise quick. And upon bended knee, a man sitting beside me talking about the way of salvation led me to Christ, the Deliverer, the Savior, Christ the Lord. And friend, that could be your experience tonight. Through faith in our Savior, you can turn from the course you're traveling and heed the warning signs on the road of life. But you see, John's message presented the Lord Jesus. He said as he preached, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so you see, John presented a person. I recall years ago we were having meetings in a new area in Newfoundland, and where my wife and I first lived after we were married was a rented cabin owned by a Mountie that had it just for the summertime, and so we got it for the winter. And we got to know our neighbors next door. We found after a while of visiting, my wife befriended the lady when she was ill, and that made quite an impression upon her. And so eventually we were able to get them up to meetings. And I recall one night, during the course of the meetings, I was preaching Mr. Ramsey that time, Albert Ramsey. And husband and wife were sitting, and they were talking about the meetings. They hadn't really heard much of this kind of preaching before, they admitted, but they already found it quite interesting. And so the man said, he said, what's this about the Lamb of God? He said, are you talking about a literal lamb? And you know, Mr. Ramsey took the opportunity pretty quickly to explain in about three quarters of an hour what we mean by the Lamb of God. And all the time, his wife was sitting there, and I was taking note of her response, and she was getting very teary-eyed. So I said to her, I said, do you understand what we are preaching about here? And what we're talking about the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. She put her face down in her hands. She said, I'm not going on in my sins any longer. She said, I like to have this experience of being saved. So the conversation ended there. We showed her from the Bible. And I recall we left her that night. We had a word of prayer together. But the next morning, Mr. Ramsey's up pretty early and over a cup of coffee, he said to her, and he gave her a call on the phone and went in the house and found out that just before she turned in for the night, she took the Bible's advice and beheld the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, friend, you're on a journey. Lots of curves and turns in the road. The young man I spoke about that I came upon that afternoon wasn't seriously injured. Eventually I met him. I didn't know who it was at the time, but eventually at a conference here, he spoke to me. He said, I'm the fellow that you reported that had the accident, but he said, I appreciate what you did. Listen, friends, you're traveling. You mightn't walk away from the accident. Repentance is before God. Flee in view of the wrath of God that will come upon this world. You can escape it, friend, because John pointed out the Lamb of God that beareth away the sin of the world. And so it covers the three R's people must know to be saved. The first one is the fact that man is ruined. The sin of the world separates man from God. But the remedy is a Lamb who died upon the cross and shed his blood to cover and cleanse from all sin. And your responsibility is to take a look of longing and trust and faith in. Now you see, Cain circumvented the Lamb. Cain said to God, I'll do it my way. And he brought produce from a ground that God cursed. Here's a young boy with saved parents who made two fundamental errors in his thinking. He denied the ruin of man. He said, I'm okay the way I am. And he denied the need of the blood. But his brother, we see the Lamb substituted. Abel said to God, he said, God, my parents are right. And I'm not right. I need to be saved, and Jesus Christ, friend, is the one that can save you here. When Abel came to the altar with an animal that he laid upon that altar, he said, God, I'm a sinner, and deserve wrath because of sin. But accept me in the grounds of this innocent victim dying in my place. That's substitution. That's what I did the day I got saved. I said, God, I am wrong. And I deserve hell. But Christ died for the ungodly. I took the place of being ungodly. I realized that Christ died for me. In Abraham, we have the Lamb prophesied. Isaac is the first one to use the word Lamb. He said, where is the Lamb? He said to his dad. His dad said, God will provide himself a Lamb. John identifies, John's reference in John 1 is the first mention in the New Testament, and John identified the Lamb. Well, listen, friend, tonight. The reason you were invited to come was not to hear fancy sermons. We appreciate all that have attended tonight and have sat up and taken the time to listen to what God's book says. But we're here to talk to you out of going to hell. Because the way you're born, you're going. And friend, unless you make one mighty effort to get God's salvation, you're going to miss it. There's been thousands before you that have been deceived by the devil. And some are in hell. You're alive tonight, friend, in this place of privilege and opportunity. You can be saved. Repent. Flee. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world.